Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate it. Once again, my name is Matt Cunningham. I'm a built environment specialist with Tri-County Health Department. We also received the CPPW grant, and I'm going to talk about just one really small piece among all the variety of different things that we're doing this morning. And that's a process that we went through at the beginning of our grant to analyze all of our jurisdictions' comprehensive and transportation plans in regards to healthy eating and active living. So kind of a new way of looking what these communities have done. No relationships to disclose. So some brief background on Tri-County. We're the largest health department in the state of Colorado. We serve three different counties, Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas counties, with about 1.3 million residents in those counties, pretty diverse population across the board, racially, ethnically, income. We've got a lot of different things going on, urban, suburban, and rural, and 26 different municipalities in addition to the three counties. So there's a lot happening within our jurisdiction, and part of why we wanted to do this, to see where everybody's at. So for our grant, we received $10.5 million for the two-year period. Policy systems and environmental changes, you've heard, we're working on to reduce obesity through healthy eating and active living. And we're really focused on both schools and the broader communities. And we've been able to pass about 70% of our funds onto community partners such as school districts, local governments. They're doing really the bulk of the amazing work that's happening as a result of the CPPW grant. So to get into this particular project, essentially we created kind of a method to provide some insight into our communities and where they're at in regards to HEAL in their transportation and planning processes. We wanted to do this to get kind of a baseline, you know, where the community is at across the board, and what can we do with that? How can we help them move forward? So to get into the methodology of how we did that, we started just with the literature review. What's the evidence? What are the aspects of the built environment that we know impact healthy eating and active living? And we wanted to make sure we understood that properly. Of course, we obtained all the plans we could. 23 jurisdictions had comprehensive plans, 8 of them had transportation plans. And then we developed what we called our kind of our key HEAL concepts, and this was essentially a way for us to look at the built environment and different elements of it and what in the built environment impacts HEAL. And as we read each of these plans, we then cataloged references to these key concepts as either goals, policies, or strategies. And I'll explain some of this a little bit more. But we wanted to capture all that and put it into a database and took that exact plan language out to look at that. So the key concepts that we came up with, you'll see probably some familiar terms if you work in planning or the built environment architecture, but you'll see the 9 key concepts on the left. The key terms are just kind of ways to break those down a little bit more, provide a little bit of definition. We tagged all the content that we took out of the plans by these terms. And just by way of illustration, we included some photos. So this top photo that you see there is an example of what we call pedestrian-friendly land uses. You'll see there's kind of a mix of uses. There's residential nearby to commercial and services, so it provides access to that. It's higher density, so things are closer together. The middle photo is an example of what we call comfort and aesthetics, which is essentially kind of urban design considerations. So in this picture, you're looking at, you know, buildings that are built up to the sidewalk instead of hiding behind large parking lots. There's lots of trees and awnings to provide shade, public arts, a nice brick sidewalk just to provide kind of an attractive, engaging place to be outside and be active. And then finally in the bottom photo is an example of traffic calming. And we talk about traffic calming, that's essentially kind of modifications to streets to help slow traffic down and make it a more welcoming and safe place for pedestrians, for bicyclists. You see a raised crosswalk here to help send a message to motorists that there's going to be pedestrians present. They've shortened the crossing distance across, so it's easier to cross the street for folks. And so as I mentioned, as we read through these plans, we cataloged everything as a goal, a policy, or a strategy. And we wanted to do that, so we weren't looking at just, you know, we didn't want to look at kind of the introductory language or the narrative. We wanted to look at what is it in the plans that's forward-looking, that's action-oriented, that communities say they want to do and achieve. So for our purposes, we define goals just as a general statement that reflects kind of a broad desire for a community, broad outcome that they want to achieve via their master plan as it relates to comprehensive and transportation planning. The example that you can see here is just, you know, it's not getting down into the nitty-gritty. It's just setting kind of a broad vision that they want to go after. A policy, then, is more of an ongoing kind of guiding principle to inform the decision-making process for staff, for elected officials, on an ongoing basis. It's not meant to be a one-time implementation step. It's for decisions as we go forward. So the example here, you can see it's providing some things for policymakers to consider as they look at making changes. And then finally, strategies are those specific implementation steps to actually make change happen, and they're each linked to a particular goal, and these provide the small steps to make those goals achievable and realized. And so in this example, you can see they're getting very specific with this street, this type of intervention, in a sense, what they wanted to see exactly. And these all came from the plans that we reviewed in our communities. And then I mentioned we put all this into a database. We started with just an Excel spreadsheet, and just to catalog everything as we found it. So you'll see we just had the plan type, when it was adopted, what those key concepts and terms were, where it was in the plan so we could refer back as needed, the application being whether it was a goal, policy, or strategy, and then finally that specific plan text. And we didn't alter that or anything. We wanted to capture exactly what it was that the communities had said and not put it into our words. And so we did a couple of things with this. One, we put all the communities into one large access database so that we could see where are all of our communities across the entire Tri-County jurisdiction, as well as providing individual reports to each community so they can have an understanding of what's going on in their own community. So to look across the Tri-County region at what we found, this table here, you're looking at the range of references as well as the median for each of the key concepts, and this is lumping the goals, policies, and strategies together. You'll see healthy food access actually had a median of zero. 19 communities had no reference to healthy food access in their comprehensive plan, hence the median being zero. And on down the table, the references continue to increase down to public transportation, active transportation, being the most frequently referenced. And you'll notice in the maximum column here and then City A here is the same numbers. And we actually had one community that had the maximum number of references in for each concept. And this is notable because this is a community that we've worked with for a few years now in their planning process. We've had a good relationship, so it really manifests here in the results that we've been able to have a positive impact in working with them, which has been nice to see. And then for the eight communities that did have transportation plans, you can see the median references for each concept here in comparison. And not surprisingly, there's not much for healthy food access and transportation plans, but what is surprising is that even the transportation-related concepts have much fewer transportation references. And so I think this shows a real opportunity to elevate the discussion of health in regards to transportation planning. And then we also did just a quick statistical analysis. I had nothing to do with this part. I let the experts handle that. But we looked at the association between each of the key concepts and the four variables that you see listed here to see if there's any associations that arose. And we found two significant results, the first being that communities with a population greater than 32,548, which is our median population for a community in Tri-County, had higher number of references of public transportation, and then also those whose plans were updated in 2000 or later. And that's not too surprising. I think larger communities certainly have a greater need and ability to support public transportation. I do think we missed some things, or not missed, I should say, but things that you don't see come through in this analysis, such as factors like political climate, the economic context, general community context, and history that certainly are very influential on the planning process that are pretty hard to analyze in this kind of way. And then finally, as I mentioned, we did an individualized report for each community. So we provided them their kind of individual database of everything we found within their plans, and then kind of a one-page front and back summary sheet, one side just explaining what we did, how we did it, and then a couple of graphics. And here this dot diagram is simply just a quick visual representation of the number of goal, policy, and strategy references to each of the key concepts. so you can see real quick where they've really focused, maybe some areas where they've got some room to grow, and then also do they have strategies that are matching up with those goals to actually help them achieve the goals that they've laid out. We also include just a quick summary graphs of the active living concepts and the healthy eating concepts, and then highlighted a couple of exemplary practices from each community, noting some things that they had in their plans that we thought were innovative or unique that we could learn from. And so our feedback, as we've shared all this with the communities, has been positive. A lot of them have said these key concepts are useful constructs in understanding and communicating the relationships between health and the built environment, particularly as they work with city staff that's kind of outside this arena or elected officials that may be not unfamiliar with these concepts. We've gotten a lot of feedback that they want to incorporate this into their future planning processes, providing a new way to look at things. And actually, we've shared this just recently with Boulder County Health Department, and they are now using this process and working with one of their communities to update their comprehensive plan. That's been going pretty well for them, I think. So to wrap up, as I said, this was a really nice process for us just to get a baseline of where does our diverse range of communities stand in regards to HEAL across the area. It provides a tool to these jurisdictions to look at these policies through a health lens. Planning departments, as you heard earlier, don't often look at things with health in mind. And so what we've done is look at their plans for them with this perspective and provide that to them. And as I've said, to help inform and guide their decisions as they go forward, certainly helps us to measure policy change over time as we work with these communities and what improvements are we seeing. And the final thing I wanted to note is a lot reading through this, we noticed there's hardly any direct references to health. I mean, they have a lot of good stuff, but you don't often see health specifically mentioned. But this is a nice way to show communities, look, you're actually doing some good things, kind of recognize them for what they're doing and then help elevate health into the conversation, and hopefully we'll see the more direct references and explicit desire to improve health kind of elevate itself in the planning process as a result. Just a quick, I wanted to thank all the people within Tri-County that helped, certainly got a lot of help. Wanted to say hello to our executive director, Dr. Richard Vogt, who joined us this morning. I thank him for his support, as well as Wendy Hirant with CDC, who's been very supportive in helping us with our CPPW grant and all the various initiatives. So thank you, everyone. And I think with that, we're going to get to Q&A.
Why don't you stay up there? Thank you. I'd like to thank our panelists and have them come up and address questions. Thank you all for coming. For those of you who arrived late, this is a panel of four communities funded through the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Communities Putting Prevention to Work program. If you're not familiar with it, I think you've heard the panelists mention this is a stimulus project where we pushed over $400 million out into the communities to do policy systems and environmental change to address tobacco and obesity. These communities had a lot of money in a short period of time to do some really difficult work, and as you can see, they really have made some huge improvements in just one small area that they're addressing in their communities. These things just represent maybe a quarter or less of the multiple things that they're doing in their communities. So I welcome you to ask some questions about the built environment work. They may be able to answer questions about some of the other work going on in their communities, but recognize that with that kind of money, you have big teams doing lots of different things. So do we have questions? And way in the back.
Well, certainly through our trail audits, we're going to be going out and looking at usage, but also through our final portion, with surveys in the WIC clinics, we're hoping to add additional questions specifically targeting that, looking at some of their behaviors and just tracking additional questions. So, as part of the enhanced evaluation, that's all kind of in my mind, so I assume that it's in everyone else's. But as part of the enhanced evaluation, we're specifically conducting evaluation activities within WIC clinics in the Mid-Ohio Valley region. So it's anyone who is receiving WIC services, and the opportunity is also available to do survey measures with people who are family members. So we have a nice spread of males and females in that sample. It's about 630, 650 individuals that we're following over three time points, collecting BMI and assessing dietary and physical activity behavior. So within that, we're hoping to look at that. And then again, as I was pointing out, hoping to promote the usage and the awareness of some of these activities, the inventories that we've done through our WIC clinics, because that seems like a great gateway to be able to access at least a large portion of our population with the greatest need. That was a mistake. I'm sorry. No, we started our trail audits in 2010. We're doing them again. They just ended, actually. It was October. It should have been October in 2011. I apologize for that. And our WIC data collection started February 2011 and will be ongoing up through March with our four time points. So I think that will be a nice piece to really talk about the change.
Schools.
Oh, yes. There are definitely other activities centered around schools, multiple programs. There's some biking programs and different activities that are happening to also engage the youth, who's obviously a lot of these things, and certainly some of the promotion activities are targeted more towards our adult population. So there are a number of things that are happening within the schools, walking programs, pedometer programs, just getting children really aware of how active they are. And we also have some work evaluating that component through a biometric mechanism using accelerometers in schools with adolescents in that population.
CDC will always answer for our communities. we like to take the big picture approach and look at how many different things are actually integrated in the communities. And sometimes they think in silos and we think in integration. And so we'll point back and say, hey, but wait, don't forget these other 16 things that you're doing when you don't sleep. We have any other, another question? Yes. So they're all working in schools. So
yeah.
Why don't we just go down the line and start with Matt and move down the line? Do you know? Yeah, I think it's easier for them to hear.
Well, within Colorado with the Tri-County Health Department, I'm not specifically working on schools, but just to speak briefly to that, we've hired wellness coordinators with grant funds and placed them in each of the school districts across all of the Tri-County area. And we've helped achieve some Safe Routes to School funding with communities, get them working with that. We've doing kind of a healthy school site design initiative. We've worked with some communities where we've kind of provided some services to existing schools to help them. How do they kind of enhance the grounds that they have to make it more inviting for students, for the communities to kind of share that space and those facilities? And I'm sure there's more, but just that's a little bit what I know off the top of my head.
We also have a project officer. She'll answer after they answer. Fill in the blanks. That to do with $15 million.
In San Antonio, we have 15 school districts. So in the month of January this year, we conducted a workshop for all the nutrition directors with all the ISDs. And those who came got the training. And then we have installed 108 salad bars in 108 schools. And that is in access to fresh produce in the schools. That has already started, and we will getting an evaluation early next year. And as far as physical activity, we conducted 13 days workshop for all the physical activity directors. So we had about 350, almost all the schools came, elementary, middle, and high school physical teachers came, as well as 175 after-school programs. All of them have got with the CPPW grant physical activity equipment, costing from $500 to $1,800. And now we are just doing an evaluation of that. Of course, we also did YRBS in 24 schools, and all the schools which participated got not only cash, but also physical activity liquidometers and fat models, all that we have given to them. And we will be repeating it next year. And Safe Routes to School is one of them.
Yeah. Seven plans.
I'll try to sound distinct, but similarly, as we call that, usually there's a partnership between a city entity and a community-based partner. So again, with a Renew grant in Los Angeles, our project managers across the various grants have also applied for Safe Routes to School funds. Two of them have received both plan development and implementation side of Safe Routes to School. Also, each of the community-based organizations, particularly in the northwest part of the city and the east side of Los Angeles, have been very active with the youth group. So there's been a lot of momentum behind youth walking tours, youth biking. Part of this motivation has also been a very large event in Los Angeles called Ciclavia, which is an event that actually shuts down about, 10.7, correct, miles of city street, which we are shutting down three times a year. And while that doesn't address the more daily needs, it has actually sort of spurred a lot of enthusiasm for biking in the city and has really given a jump start to the youth groups in getting more involved in biking.
In Los Angeles, they're also working on the school food environment and joint use agreements.
Correct. Thank you.
In West Virginia, we have in each of the counties a county coordinator. So each of those coordinators are working directly with schools really in activities related to increasing physical activity and improving dietary behaviors and nutrition environment. So as far as nutrition, and it's been implementing fresh fruit and vegetable programs to expand access and kind of introduce the young palates to a greater variety of fresh produce through the schools. As far as physical activity, it's come in terms of various physical activity events. A lot of our coordinators have established partnerships with the local wellness committees in their areas, either at the school or at the county level. And in addition to that, we do have school kind of wellness coordinators specializing in being that link between our state management team and the individual schools who can focus specifically on physical activity. So those are the people who are really responsible for doing some of the great programs and working with physical education teachers and hoping to kind of create further movement towards getting kids active, maybe in middle school, having that 15 minutes daily where they can have kind of activities, whether it might be towards physical activity instruction, throughout the regular classroom or after school activities. So there's quite a variety of things, and I'm sure I'm missing some.
Wendy's going to come up. This is Wendy Heirich. At CDC, we have project officers. The project officers are assigned typically 5, but now 8, 9, 10 communities, and they oversee all their grant functions. And they actually provide direct technical assistance and coordinate other technical assistance with the communities to make sure that they are meeting their objectives, that they're moving along, and actually that they're also addressing the needs and the expectations of the federal dollars. So Wendy is one of our project officer extraordinaires who works with both the Colorado and the West Virginia community.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to add on to what they've already addressed. As a project officer, I get to see what these folks are doing and all the fine work, and then I get to see all the rest of the work that's happening. So I get to tie it all together, or at least encourage the communities to tie it together. So when we look at Colorado, you know, Matt showed us some really nice slides of what you're doing. You're building the sidewalks. You're addressing the aesthetic so it looks pretty. With programming from the other parts of communities putting prevention to work, if you build us a sidewalk, we're going to walk on it. Give us a crosswalk and we're going to cross safely. You've done the engineering, the creating that built environment, that the hardscape changes that we need, and so the rest of them will do it. In the schools specifically, Safe Routes to School is a good one. Let me pick on Colorado. They have what they call flat 14ers. You know, the 14ers are the really high mountains, 14,000 feet way up there, but when you live on the plains, you just see the mountains. So what they've done is they've flattened them out and said, if you walk this many steps, you will have crested that summit. And so what we've done is we built the sidewalks, the safe routes that we can do. West Virginia, all right, so you build a trail, you mark it. How do you get people there? In the schools, we promote it. Working through the phys ed teachers, they have community events, getting the children and the adults out there. In the different communities, the hubs, Stephanie, you pointed out, it's a little bit different from LA, but the hubs are there. So you start there promoting on the weekend, your walking events, get the kids out there. And so they do have walking challenges. So the businesses out there, the work site challenges. Okay, I want you to go out and walk 3 miles a day. The first question is, where? So we have signage for the trails to direct them there. And so there's many other projects like that. And I'm sure San Antonio and LA has done the same thing. But this was a focused presentation, and I appreciate this, so that we can go back and build upon it. So thank you all for your good work.
I just also want to indicate that the majority of these communities have very extensive media campaigns. They're actually, although the program is formally ending in March, they're now getting additional funds to support additional media that will go beyond the CPBW initiative. And some of these communities have been funded in slightly different ways, but with the community transformation grants to continue this important work and build on the momentum that they've already started with CPBW. We're really excited about all of this. Before the next question, I just want to remind you that 10:30, we're having Howard Koh, Ursula Bauer, Dr. Bunnell, Becky Bunnell, many of our high-level people from CDC and from HHS presenting in Salon C at the Conference Center on CPBW, and they're bringing people from different sectors to come and talk about how you make all of this work. So even if your community does not have $15 million, you can still bring people together at the table and plan to try to get those dollars for the future, because there will be likely future programs, not as much money, more like a dollar per capita possibly, but there'll be more money coming, we hope, in the future as part of the Affordable Care Act funds, the Prevention Wellness Fund. Other questions? Yes.
I was interested in Los Angeles' plans to incorporate health in your comprehensive plan. So the broader question is, how are you going about making changes in municipal governance to incorporate health, specifically in your example, to others?
Thanks for asking. the health element, we've picked up $1.25 million to do the health element, and that's going to happen over the next 5 years. And so it's a major effort in the city to reach out to the communities and to really change the way we do our plans. It's a vision element. So what that does is that gives us a vision around many different aspects, everything from nutrition to building design to parks, to environmental justice zones. We have several environmental justice zones in the city, and we don't really have the policies to know how to treat those. So once we get the general plan framework, that allows us to start addressing those plans and also build on that with implementation tools. It's very similar to the presentation you gave in Colorado. This is fundamental because I think as health advocates start to realize by working with local governments, it's a really impactful way to change our communities. And so this is something is we need to set the table in such a way that a planning commission can be empowered to implement those kinds of policies and strategies. And that's what will happen with the general plan framework.
So, you're probably not from a CPBW-funded community, but LA County has what we call a mentoring grant, and they received $2 million to provide mentoring to other CPBW communities. So they actually have the structure to reach out and provide additional information. So though these folks may not be able to give you the exact answer that you want, if you do want to move forward, they actually have materials and opportunities there to share at least some aspects of all the work that they're doing. They are considered a formal mentoring community through this work, along with four other communities, CPBW communities, to push PSEs forward. Yes?
After one of the patterns of creating or identifying different opportunities for the population, it's very easy to go in schools because you don't have them. But have there been any creative efforts to give the individual adults a vote in the Easter's?
So I'm going to answer that question, and they can answer it in a different way. We are really not focusing on the specific individual and individual behavior change. This is more about making the healthy choice, the easy choice, first and foremost. and focusing really on moving the policies and the systems and changing that environment. They are obviously working on what I like to call supportive interventions, but it is not the target of these dollars. So then I'll let them talk about those supportive interventions. We like to close our ears to that and really think that these dollars are focusing on the big term, long-term sustainable changes, and then you can tell us what you're doing that you want to.
Sure. I think Wendy already highlighted this, but we have several activities and programs that have been put through the school systems, as well as in the workplace, challenges, like she was saying, where people are keeping track of their physical activity. There was the big program, the step-by-step challenge, yes, that had a great participation base and had a final kickoff event. People were tracking their miles, and I can't remember how many people in total, but it was a very large sum that got a lot of interest and has continued on to different work sites, and people are kind of moving that forward. So it's taken shape in a number of different ways.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And similarly, I'll just reiterate that really what we're doing now is a down payment on affecting the physical change, and that the programming will carry on through the community development through the CTG. But there has been a large focus on the media side, again, more on the nutrition and sweetened beverages. So again, the message is getting out there, but the emphasis to that point is really a down payment on the plans to support physical change. They'll be later on complemented by the programming.
Two things happening in San Antonio. One is fitness classes in the parks. We just finished one session and started a second session, and that is in cooperation with the Mayor's Fitness Council. So last time we had about 10 weeks of classes in 22 parks, and we had about 260 sessions, and the total estimated number of participants must have been around 4,000. And we worked with local partners, so we hope that after CPPW is gone, they will continue doing that, YMCA and Reshape to Live. And they just started the second session now. The other one is the walking groups. Our team made a walking guide, and the physical licensed trained the students in a community college. So now it is part of their curriculum. So they will be starting training walking leaders, who in turn will start the walking groups. It has just started, and we have already had two trainings for the others who are interested, and the college students in particular course, they are also trained. So the faculty in the kinesiology department is taking a lead on that, and so we hope that will continue as a part of the curriculum, and practical training will be starting working groups. I don't have any data now. Maybe by next year we would have some data.
Well, to kind of reiterate a little bit, you know, as Robin said, we're pretty focused on kind of these high-level changes that will affect, you know, kind of the broad swaths of the population. However, the Flight 14ers program that Wendy mentioned, that's primarily targeted at kids in schools, there's kind of a component to that that's, you know, to get the parents involved as well. And it's not just a child-centered thing. It's something to get, you know, the whole family can be active together, and they can, you know, as a family can climb a mountain kind of a thing. And then some of the media things, it's kind of the same thing. While it's more focused on children and childhood obesity, it's, you know, addressing it as a family and not just making your child do something, but what can you as a whole family do?
I think they were really nice examples of it's a teach a person to fish approach. You know, it's a sustainability approach that they're taking, and that's really what we've tried to transition these program ideas into, make sure it's sustainable, make sure other programs can support it and carry it out through to the future. This is a stimulus to motivate us to move. Any other questions? Yes. So CTG is a community transformation grant, as I mentioned in the beginning. Those were kicked off last week. Houston, Texas received an award as a capacity building community. We did not have that with CPBW. You jumped in, you I just hope you didn't drown. With CTG, we have 26 communities that are funded for 2 years, and what they actually are funded to do is to bring together those partners and to build a community transformation plan during that two-year period while testing out the waters on one strategy. And then after they've actually achieved that community transformation plan, they have the opportunity to apply for implementation awards. And they're just now learning how to pull people together. So I'll let these folks, can anybody answer, Margo? Can you? So remember, this is just one small corner. This is just the built environment piece, and they can talk about that. But there are other learning opportunities here at the meeting, as you know.
And I welcome Bill to chime in as well. But if you're speaking about building capacity, is again, the grant structure, we as public health partnered with a city element and a community-based organization. And we were fairly particular in partnering with a community-based organization that had a very strong record of already bringing coalitions to the table. So they, in fact, partnered with us because when they had expertise in-house, or they had the coalitions already that we could tap into, because obviously we want to engage the community and hear the community voice in the planning process. Similar, I think, just through the process of the collaboration and bringing to the table the engineers and the general management of these various agencies, that the discussions and the variables that we brought to a discussion that were new kind of brought some motivation and inspiration so that they themselves can take it back in-house to their departments. But So, if that helps.
In regards to the built environment at Tri-County, one of the things that we did, we had a couple other planners that we hired as part of the grant, and essentially their initial task was to conduct what they called a listening tour, and they met with the planning departments and other city staff at each of our, every single one of our jurisdictions and counties throughout the Tri-County service area to just kind of hear where they at in their community, what's happening, where the what projects or plans are upcoming, what are the issues that they face, the political context, all these things, just to kind of get a sense of where the community sees themselves. And then we kind of looked at that and looked at okay, where can we potentially step in and be of assistance to help elevate health in the conversation. We came up with a couple of other tools, a comprehensive plan framework, I believe it's called, as well as a community health snapshot. So just some tools and resources that we were able to provide to these communities that they could use. So just some kind of ways to reach out to them without, hitting them over the head or forcing our way into the conversation.
So part of the CPBW and the Community Transformation Grant model, which is also part of the model that we've used for other programs, you may have heard of REACH and Healthy Communities, is to hold action institutes. And so you'll have the opportunity on November 28th to participate in week-long training on how to get it done. And we provide the project officer and other support to make sure that that the vision is realized and first understood, I think, and second realized. We don't just put the money out there and pray. We really try to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars and make sure that we have a shared vision and a vision that's able to move forward in a comprehensive fashion very quickly, because this is the not slow down generation. Any other questions for us? Now I hope to see you all in Salon C at the Convention Center. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. Thank you to our panelists.